Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Suzanne Muchin, standing in, sitting in, just being here for Steve Bertrand, who's out today. I'm the host of the Big Payoff podcast. And for Tuesday listeners, there is no sort of he said, she said, because I can't talk to myself. So we have other guests in the studio today who are going to be fantastic, including Andrew Herman from DNA Info, who will be back talking about the helicopter issue, private helicopters on the West Side. And for those of you who feel like you need to just take a nice deep breath and calm down after last week, we're going to have Amanda Moreno from the Erickson Institute talking to us about mindfulness. Lord knows I need that too. But let's start out the day as we always do on Tuesdays with John Najarian from the Najarian Family Offices. John, last time I think we spoke, we were talking about biotech and that potentially getting a bump from Hillary Clinton, but my, how the world has changed since then.
True. Although I don't know if we were talking about it getting a bump from her, unless the bump was to the downside. But biotech, as you say, Susan, one of those areas that Ms. Clinton was viewed as very negative on and Mr. Trump was viewed as at least benign, if not positive on. And the move in some of the healthcare stocks and, of course, just as you said, you do have to sort of break up biotech from just healthcare in general, but a lot of the focus that people had and fears that they had just over a week ago for that sector have sort of moderated pretty dramatically.
Right. And so now people are seeing, you know, what's being called the Trump bounce, right? But what is your take on that? Is that something that we're going to see long term? What's your read?
Well, as we just had former Speaker Boehner on the halftime report here on CNBC, and he was saying that Trump is only half Republican and he's more like half or more Democrat, because certainly his what he has supported in the past, as well as what he is likely to be doing now, are probably not to the far conservative side, even though that was what he was painted as.
Exactly.
So what I think we're going to see is a fairly robust opening of the pockets and spending. And that's certainly what the market believes will happen with infrastructure plays like U.S. Steel and Mittal and AK Steel. These are stocks that have absolutely exploded as of late, just in the last few days. AK Steel is the smaller player of that group, but stocks like Symbol X, which is U.S. Steel, have just gone basically from $20 to $28 very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. So 16-17% moves, those aren't normal for stocks to move unless they've had some dramatic news. And I guess the dramatic news is Mr. Trump is going to spend.
Is going to spend. And big banks, what is your take on that?
Love them. I really like the banking sector the most of any sector right here. There's several tailwinds. I'll hit them quickly. One, I think they're going to get more money on deposits, of course, because interest rates are going to be moving up. And they already have, as far as the bond market, foretelling what is going to happen in December with the Fed. Two, fixed income trading. This is the trading that the big banks like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, that's what they do for their clients that need either foreign exchange trading or fixed income. And I think both of those sectors of their trading revenue will be through the roof over the next several quarters because of what's happening in the markets. So that sector in particular, big banks, I like it a lot. You might also see some sort of rollback of some of the proposals in Dodd-Frank. Freeing up regulation would be something else that would be positive for those banks.
And what are you advising your clients and friends who are disappointed by last week?
I guess that every election, somewhere close to half the country is disappointed. So it's not a new thing. It's somewhat different this time around because George Soros is paying for protest buses to come in.
Right.
I was doing some videos of them up and down Canal Street the other day, where there were like 60 or 70 buses, I think we counted, that were brought in to haul in the protesters because they simply didn't have enough in Chicago. That's something that's different and probably not very healthy. The sooner that we can move away from, you know, one person wins, one person loses,
right.
Okay, let's move on and let's try to do the best with what we've got. And, you know, that's, like I say, the same every election, 47 or 50% of the people aren't going to be happy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are the results you're seeing in the stock market that different from a typical election turnover when it's gone from one party to the other?
No. That's a very good point. When it's a turnover, but I guess Suzanne, the surprise is that it's a surprise in that one party was already being more or less crowned, and the fact that it turned so dramatically on election night because polling an ineffective or at least not exact science was found to be not very accurate. And I guess that some of the people that were heavily weighted in certain sectors, like I say, for instance, some of the ones that might have done better under Ms. Clinton instead of Mr. Trump, were quickly thrown aside and they scrambled to get into those infrastructure plays as well as defense stocks and healthcare stocks.
Yeah, I'm guessing that you're pretty busy right now as people sort of scramble to try to figure out how to take advantage of the moment, right? Maybe as a way of sort of soothing themselves after if they were shocked and awed.
True. I think there's a lot of trades that are being done right now that are people, another reason to like the brokerage side of the business, whether it's TD Ameritrade, Schwab, Fidelity, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, because an awful lot of portfolios are being changed right now into the end of the year, basically in anticipation of where the sectors are that are going to benefit from this, like I say, massive spending that they're at least anticipating. But I guess the real issue, Suzanne, is do we get too far ahead of ourselves because he's still more than 60 days out
exactly.
from implementing any of these strategies.
John Najarian from the Najarian Family Offices, thank you so much, as always. I always learn a lot when you're on the show.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind, Suzanne.
Really appreciate
show.
It. You too. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is Suzanne Muchen. I am sitting in for Steve Bertrand. You can tweet to me today at Big Payoff Radio. I put a hashtag up there, when the cat's away, which is always a good hashtag when Steve is out. Steve, we love you and we miss you, but we're going to have a good time over here anyway. So Andrew Herman from DNA Info is in the studio. Usually we pass each other in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
But today I sort of feel like the power dynamics have shifted in my favor. Like you're in my hands right now.
Well, I think it's kind of weird how you always have your seat higher than me in the studio here.
I think that's just because I'm like 5'1" on a good day,
oh,
my
okay.
friend.
Alrighty.
So you've got some good stories coming in. I want to start with the one about the Lincoln Park mom
uh-huh.
who left a lucrative law job to start a new company. And I love these stories for a lot of reasons, in part because I think it's normal for the rising generation to switch jobs, to sort of, you know, be somewhere for 4 years, 5 years. But you're
mm-hmm.
talking about a mom who was in a serious, well-paying, stable job and gave it up.
Right,
so what
you know,
happened?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people say, I guess we all do at some point in our lives, we wake up and go, I wish I did something else for a living, and
yeah.
then we go off to work and continue to work.
Right.
And, this person, Sarah Hardgrove Colino, she's, as you say, a Lincoln Park mother, has four children. She was a lawyer at Jenner & Block, you know, big firm
right.
in town, so a nice job she had there. But she decided that she wasn't spending enough time with her four children, so she decided to get out of the law business and get into something else. And what that something else is the sports drink industry. And like I guess like a lot of entrepreneurs, she was trying to figure out what the world needed and looked around. And she'd go to soccer games for their kids and saw people drinking sports drinks. And she thought, you know, there should be maybe an alternative to your Gatorade and your Powerade. So her and another friend, another lawyer, got together and launched this company. And they make a drink called Cray. like cray cray, but it stands for keep rising above. So she has got this this juice drink out and trying to make a go of it.
I always think it's interesting when people leave a job like at a law firm and think maybe they're going to get some more time with their family when they do a startup. When, you know, this is about being all in if you're going to do something like this. This can't be a hobby. I mean, she's got packaging. What I thought was really interesting about this is, yes, a lot of us are happy to hand our kids a sports drink right off the shelf, a Gatorade, a Propel, even though they are unusually bright colors that clearly don't come from nature. And yet, we don't really question it because maybe it has, you know, there's like the Gatorade that has less sugar.
Uh-huh.
But she's really trying to make it. And a term that you pulled out in our exchange last night, which I find sort of both hilarious and fascinating, is that she used a flavor architect.
Right, which I had never heard of before, but I, doing a little research, I guess it's a food chemist. So she wasn't, you know, a sports drink expert by any means. She had an idea what she wanted to do at the end, but how do you get there? And so she hired a flavor architect, and they exist in the world, and they basically, if you have a product that you're interested in making, some kind of food or drink product, you go to them and tell them what you want, and then they put a bunch of stuff together. In her case, it's apple juice and organic cane sugar and vegetable juice to give it some color, and she wanted to keep it low in calories, so it's 40 calories, and so they came up with this drink. It took about a year and a half to 2 years to develop, so it was not an overnight thing in launching a product, but they launched in April. So far, they've sold about 100 grand worth of product.
Which is impressive.
Not too bad. Small groceries, health clubs, but she recently got a contract with Mariano's.
So. I mean, that's the big deal. If anyone who watches Shark Tank, you know that the moment that you get the order, like an actual order from a big box store, that's a huge deal. So it sounds like we're going to be seeing it on the shelves.
Right. Now, look at the industry, though, that she's getting into. The sports drinking industry. Gatorade controls about 75% of it. They're owned by Pepsi. Powerade, 20%. They're owned by Coke. So she's going up against some pretty powerful entities here. But maybe if you can create a niche, and who knows?
Sure.
Snapple was nothing at one point, and then everyone was drinking Snapple for a while.
Well, my advice to her is to go crazy on social media. Find some kind of a content strategy that really speaks to moms, goes right after the health issue, and tries to create sort of almost like a cult following. There's no way she's going to be able to compete otherwise.
She does do some of that, and she also says getting on Amazon was a big help.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure
you can use your social media to reach beyond borders, and you know, Amazon is everywhere, and so people can buy it through Amazon.
Let's just talk quickly before you go out about the other issue that is on DNA Info, which is the helicopter noise complaints that are coming out of the West Side from these private helicopter companies.
Right. So a couple of within the last couple of years, a couple of private helicopter services have opened up. Basically, they ferry people from the airports to closer to downtown. So businessmen may fly into the airports, and they don't want to wait in traffic on the Kennedy. So,
God forbid.
And they have some tourism, and there's just all various different ways they can use helicopters. And when they opened, there was not a whole lot of pushback in the medical district, some in Bridgeport, but now they've been around for a while, and the people who live in those neighborhoods are complaining of the noise.
Yeah, understandably so. And I'm guessing part of the complaint is not only the noise, but like who's in those helicopters making their lives a little miserable.
Well, I'm sure it's hard to get by the sound, but they've been having meetings at the for Vertiport, which is in the medical district, and the Chicago Helicopter Experience, which is in Bridgeport, and so the aldermen are responding, and they're saying that the next generation of helicopters will be quieter, and they're going to try and do different things in terms of where the wind is blowing, but they are there.
Andrew Herman, DNA Info, thanks so much as always. And we'll be back to the Wintrust Business Lunch after this break. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Suzanne Muchen. I'm sitting in for Steve Bertrand. You can tweet to me today at Big Payoff Radio or listen to the podcast, The Big Payoff. So many times we talk about entrepreneurship on this show, and you think about tech and apps and things that make your daily life a little bit easier. But we're going to have a very different and interesting conversation, and it starts by having John Flavin on the show. John is the head of the Polsky Center at the University of Chicago. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Suzanne. Thank you.
Hey, great to have you. So today we're going to be talking about fighting cancer. And I do really want you to start sort of at the top by telling us a little bit about the Polsky Center. And really, I do think that people associate entrepreneurship and innovation with things they can see and feel and touch every day. But tell us about what you're doing in terms of fighting cancer.
Well, the Polsky Center is uniquely positioned to really build a bridge between many of the talented individuals coming out of business school, you know, people with MBAs and focus around business development and finance, and connecting it to the medical center and things we have going on in data sciences as well. And when you think about entrepreneurship, it certainly does run the gamut. So beyond web apps and digital tech, where Chicago certainly has a lot of strengths, Chicago is building a really strong arsenal around biotechnology as well. And so cancer is a particular area that is ripe for disruption. And University of Chicago has all the tools and know-how to be able to make a huge impact around how we discover new drugs, treat patients in a more precise manner.
So tell me more about how big data is being used, what that actually means in terms of developing new treatments.
Well, you hear this term a lot, personalized medicine, and a lot of this comes out of the early work in the Human Genome Project that really was a watershed event in the early 2000s. By understanding the genetic profile of individuals, fast forward to today, being able to do that very cheaply, genetic sequencing, understanding a person's DNA background, allows one to be able to more precisely understand the disease, in particular, what type of cancer and what drug might be useful. So the idea of the surgical strike, as opposed to this heavy artillery of cancer treatments that we've had to deal with for a number of years, that are useful, but they have a lot of really damaging side effects. So big data is being used. Now that we have high-powered computing, we look at the University of Chicago in particular. We have two of the fastest supercomputers in the world. We've got people that know how to use those computers. They're generating data they're collecting along with the National Cancer Institute and a $40 million grant that went into Dr. Bob Rosen's lab to form the Genomic Data Commons. We have 14,000 cancer patients fully sequenced tumor data. And what that means very simply is that we can understand which drugs might be useful for which individual cancer patient.
And John, what does it mean when I read about that database? What is a petabyte, right? So I think we know about gigabytes, but how much data is that?
Yeah, it's a million gigabytes. If you look at the Genomic Data Commons itself, and it's part of the cancer moonshot. So, Vice President Joe Biden came out to open up this laboratory just a few months ago. It's really an important initiative, and it's all about getting more and more data into the commons so that we can be more knowledgeable about what types of cancer and, at the end of the day, treat patients more precisely. So 1 million gigabytes is in a petabyte, and in that initial database for the 14,000 cancer patients' data, it's 4 petabytes.
That
is hard to get your head around that.
I can't get my head around that, but this is your sweet spot. I mean, when people think about you and your past as an innovator and they put you together with a project like this, it makes sense, right? Because this is what you've been doing for many years in the healthcare industry.
Yeah, well, there's so many opportunities here in Chicago. When we think about biotech in Chicago style, it's the convergence of the many things that are happening in digital, all the great things that have happened, around the merchandise mart, 1871, Groupon, data analytics. We have a really strong critical mass of data scientists, but now the application opportunity is in the convergence into the healthcare arena. So we've got great academic medical centers. We've got a lot of bright physicians. We've got a motivated population of people that increasingly are interested in commercializing these products to really impact patients, particularly in the cancer space. So, we've got all those elements here in Chicago, the rise of Matter, a new, incubator here in town to aggregate a lot of the healthcare players, are all really the critical mass necessary to be able to form these types of companies. I even look at the crossover, what's happening from traditional, consumer-facing entrepreneurs like Eric Lefkowski. He's now started up a new venture called Tempus,
right,
which is
right.
Very focused on this type of activity.
I think it's also, what people are coming to pay more attention to is this intersection of the medical industry. innovation, entrepreneurs, big data. I mean, that's what really gets me excited when I go over to a place like Matters to see all of that converging in one community.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is it's multidisciplinary. So, what we have here is we have clinicians, we've got great medical centers, we've got great doctors, we've got, the computing assets, we've got data scientists, and we have drug discoverers. That's unique, and I think that's where Chicago-style biotech will stand out from what's happening in places like Cambridge, Mass., which is, noted for its expertise and kind of being ground zero for pure play biotech. Our biotech is going to be more hybrid, and we're going to be multi-collaborative and require different types of individuals working together. So the people like Bob Grossman developing the genomic data commons, spinning off companies, entrepreneurs needing to access that, and then large companies like the partnership we have with AbbVie here in Chicago.
And John, as we wrap up, we speak about big numbers and Chicago style. Just validate, you are in fact one of 9 siblings. Is that right?
That's right. I'm number 7 of 9.
And you all get along. I mean, you work together, you've invested together. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't think our parents designed it that way. It fell out pretty interesting. And that my older brother, Mike, is a PhD medicinal chemist. I'm a business guy. My brother, Pat, is an attorney. And then, Nancy and Ed in sales and public relations were a great team that helped us build, some successful companies here in the Chicago area.
Well, it's awesome. I've seen a lot of you guys around town. You all have this similar sort of look, and it's just amazing that you're all part of one family. So John Flavin from the Polsky Center, University of Chicago, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Suzanne. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be back after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Suzanne Mushin, sitting in for Steve Bertrand. And, I don't know about you, but this last week I've been doing a lot of deep breathing, watching a lot of people in my network talk about meditating, figuring out how to calm down. And I figured we need to get an expert in the house to talk to us more about this. So into the studio, we have an Erickson Institute professor, Amanda Moreno, who's also a fellow Tufts Jumbo.
Woo-hoo.
We have to go there, right? There aren't so many of us here.
That's right.
Right. So Erickson had its big luncheon gala, awesome event yesterday with David Brooks as the speaker. And it had these beautiful photos of these children sort of eyes closed at their desks. And you just got this sense that maybe something really special is going on. So I know that you're doing a huge study on CPS students and teaching them mindfulness. So tell us what mindfulness is and what's going on with the study.
Sure. So I like to think of mindfulness as a non-religious state of mind that involves a radical focus on and acceptance of the present moment. So that sounds really weird, but the reason why I say radical is because it's very common for human beings, even children, to basically walk around in a fog of automatic pilot. So you're either ruminating about the past or anxious about the future. So it's really a very different exercise for us to think about what we're doing while we're doing it, to enjoy it, to accept it. And we're finding that it helps people be able to feel their emotions more without being sort of taken over by them, without being hijacked by it. So it really does help you cope, be more emotionally resilient with whatever stresses might be facing you.
So that seems difficult to do for any of us, right? I mean, as you're even talking, I'm thinking to myself, could I do that?
Right. Am I thinking about the past?
Am I
or
thinking
the future
about
right?
Right.
Now?
So when you're working with the students at CPS, so what are you seeing? What's working? What are you taking away from that?
Yeah. So what it usually looks like as a start, and this is what we do with the kids as well, is it starts with just focusing on your breathing. So you literally think about And feel what it feels like to have the breath go in and out of your nose. You might put your hands on your belly and feel your belly move your hands up and down as you breathe. And you might think, well, what does that have to do with being emotionally resilient just because I can focus on my breathing? But what it basically does is that in a bite-sized way, it teaches you how to control your own mind. So the breath is just a very small, easy way to start into that. And then gradually with practice, it can be into bigger things like feelings and emotions. But you might focus on one at a time. And so with the students, obviously little kids are not doing a mindfulness practice that resembles anything like an experienced meditator, right? It looks really
different. And what age kids are we talking about?
The kids that I work with are from kindergarten to second grade.
Wow.
But mindfulness has been done and studied with as young as preschool.
Wow.
And so again, they're not doing anything like a perfect practice in any way, mindfulness is one of those things where a little bit is not a dangerous thing. So it can be very helpful. And the fact that kids can do it, the fact that other, you know, severely sort of impaired individuals, for example, such as dementia patients, can do mindfulness and find some benefit from it, I think should be a comfort to us all to say that, you know, even as an adult, if you don't have a lot of time, you know, you're never going to become this perfect Zen meditator person. It's still okay if you can have, if you can find, you know, 2 to 5 minutes a day to be able to focus, calm down, sort of control your own thoughts, if you will, that it does have some benefit for you. So.
And what are the teachers, the CPS teachers, saying? Are they seeing the benefits of what's happening as a result of the Erickson Institute work with their students?
Yeah, so we don't have the scientific results available yet. We're all very anxious for that.
Sure.
But anecdotally, certainly, we are hearing stories about the benefits. And the teachers report benefits for themselves as well. So they engage in the mindfulness exercises too. So it really works best if everybody's doing it and it creates part of the culture. But teachers and principals are telling us things like their instructional minutes are increased because now after coming in from recess and lunch, instead of taking 30 minutes to get settled and restart the lessons, now it takes 3 to 4 minutes.
That's amazing.
For kids to, you know, become
right.
Present and it's reducing outbursts and tantrums and things like that. So
Amanda Moreno, this is fascinating. I know that a lot of people listening are thinking to themselves that they could use that, whether they're a parent or a teacher or for themselves, mm-hmm. to just settle in.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to have you on the
Thanks,
show.
Thanks, Suzanne.
So as a business owner, you know that you need to advertise your business online, but digital marketing can be overwhelming. It's constantly evolving. Who has time to manage results? You need to contact Logical Position. They specialize in digital marketing, from search marketing to social marketing to search engine optimization. Logical Position is the absolute best company to hire for this. Logical Position is a premier Google partner. That means that they've been handpicked, groomed, and trained by Google to provide the best results for clients. Logical Position is completely transparent. All clients have login access to their accounts with real-time reporting, and with Logical Position, there's no hidden fees. They'll have your small business on your small business budget competing online with those big box stores. And right now, they'll even provide you $150 Google AdWords credit. So go to chicagoonlinereview.net or call 312-281-6018, 312-281-6018, or chicagoonlinereview.net. It is getting close to the 1 o'clock hour. It's been great to be on the show, sitting in for Steve. And you're listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.